Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVille Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And this is our Women in Technology series, episode, I think, 3 or 4. We're going to call it 3. It probably should be 4, but we'll call it 3. So I have 3 fantastic ladies around this table with me this morning that are knee-deep in technology and in our community. So I'm going to let you all go around the horn and introduce yourself and who you are. So please.
Bronwyn Naylor with TechWorks.
And Robin Phillips. I'm back for number 2.
That's it.
And I'm with AppRiver.
And I'm Ashley Mosley Brown, and I am also with AppRiver.
I'm surrounded by a bunch of blue shirts today.
this is a good thing, Keith. We're going to have you bleeding AppRiver blue before you know it.
I think I already am. Between you guys and Jim and I-10, we've drank the Kool-Aid. That's
excellent.
For sure. So, well, let's get into some of this, because I know that you all brought a lot of things that you do and that you want to talk about. So I'm going to let you start. Tell me about your business first.
Well, TechWorks is a small company. It's just myself and my partner, and we do all kind of computer repair. We do networking. We help with regulatory compliance. You name it, we do it. POSs, phones.
Yeah.
We do a lot of it. I'm not as sharp as my partner, but.
Well, how much fun is regulatory compliance?
Actually, that's not a whole lot of fun, but it is very beneficial, especially for medical and law offices who have to have it.
Yeah. So, and how long are you guys here local?
We're here local. The company's been in business 2 years. I've been in this for about 14.
Wow. You're not bored yet?
No, I love it. It's always ever changing. You can't get bored because there's something new every day.
Absolutely.
TechWorks, though, is also a client of AppRiver. She's a partner of ours. And at AppRiver, she's what we call our channel reseller and mentor to her clients, and helps sell our products and services, which helps with compliance sometimes.
It's a great product for compliance. That's actually how we push it, is for compliance, just because of being in the cloud and I love it too, because you can access their products from other computers. So I'm not limited at my desk to just that computer.
I love not having a desk job.
Right. You know, I can go anywhere with my computer and access the software.
So do you get a lot of that? Because all of this is like foreign language to me for this kind of stuff. What kind of companies need this?
Medical, law offices, anyone that has to have their documentation private, which is really getting where it's everybody.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is anybody. I'll tell you, we have customers at AppRiver. We do, of course, any customer that is interested in technology that needs to be secure. And that could be, I joke when I'm training our new hires and say, you know, even an individual that has a home business and they don't have any large number of clients, or they don't have to keep their information private. If they know anything about the internet and that it's widely unsecure and it's not safe, folks. It's not safe, contrary to what you might think. And also, email by nature is as wide open as a Post-it. So people are putting things in email. It was actually created for that. The purpose of email was to have it be quicker and easier than sending something through the mail. So it was by nature created to be snapshot, send it through the different hub ports on the internet. It's not safe. So, but now email is used for everything.
Yeah.
So the majority of the stuff that people are sending, even if it's just from a personal nature, they're sending something to their accountant, they're sending something to their doctor. This stuff actually needs to be locked up tight, because it's as wide open as a Post-it. So no matter how large your business is, AppRiver has solutions, not just email encryption, but a lot of solutions that can leverage the types of security that you need to keep your own information safe, much less if you own a business. And of course, Bronwyn and TechWorks, they're one of the providers out there that are offering our suite of services to their customers, among other things that they sell as well.
Well, one thing you should do too, security-wise, is for emails, and we keep telling our clients this, is changing your password. Mm-hmm. People keep their passwords too long. You should change them every 30 days minimum.
Oh my God,
and don't just
so
add
lost.
The exclamation point at the end, right? Password 123 is not secure.
Well, I'm going to tell you,
neither is your pet name.
We guess passwords just from the information you give us. I can usually sign on to your computer myself if you've got a login.
Yeah, last name, your dog's name, where you went to college, and your birthday.
My email's not secure through Google and Yahoo and those kinds of things.
It is.
Good question.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, any mail provider is going to wrap it up with lots of, how techie do you want to get here? Okay, we can
it's your show. I'm just living in it.
I mean, the reality is that there's a big difference between if you were to buy a server and put it in your closet, it's probably not going to be done very well.
Right.
But if you're doing any sort of mail solution with a hosted provider, that's a hosted provider is somebody that has server space in data centers. They're generally going to be locked up fairly securely, not just physically, but they're going to have some filtering, inbound and outbound spam and malware filtering. They're also going to have certain protocols in place where only the appropriate people get to access the servers. Right. But the reality is that if you want an email solution that goes above that kind of what we would call free mail, then you have to make a choice about who you want to purchase your email from. There's all sorts of different providers. Some are much better. There's all sorts of things to consider, such as what type of spam and virus filtering they're using, what type of mail solution is it, how secure is it, how often is it being updated, how often is it having security patches, all these sorts of things. Most people don't think about that when they're purchasing business grade email from somebody. They'll just use the free mail that came when they bought their website.
Yep.
And that's, you can pay for what you get.
Y'all offer secure mail too, which is awesome.
Right. Our CipherPost Pro encryption product, there's layering of security going on. So you have your standard hosted exchange in the cloud that has SSL and all the deep technology transfer protection that it encompasses. But then you can layer it and put on an encryption layer and use it to send a postcard, if you will, or a post-it note to someone and keep it secure, especially with how many people just send their social security number over the email or their passwords over
right.
their email to their child at college or someone, you know, that needs to get into something somewhere. It should be something on everyone's mind to keep that data close and protected.
I ran an IT department for an eye specialist, yeah. and that saved us a whole lot, the encryption. And again, that's HIPAA. That complies with the HIPAA that we have to comply with for medical.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. So it's got a lot of avenues to it.
So I want to know how the three of you ended up in this world.
Go ahead, Robin.
Well, from the last time.
Hold on. I flip your switch. I think we might have accidentally turned your mic off. You're going to have to lift it up.
I'll go ahead.
We're going to let Ashley take over.
Yeah.
Fix this.
So, I actually have a very roundabout way of getting into this role, and I'll tell you, I wear a few hats at App River, but I am currently in our training and development department. I've been in this role for a couple years. I develop curriculum and I'm our training facilitator. So I do all of our new hire training for our new appers, as we call them. I do all of our partner training. So I am, of course, embedded in our products and our App River culture. And it's my responsibility to train not only appers, but also our partners. But prior to me moving into the training and development role at App River, I was in channel sales. So I managed our partners and I managed some of our largest partners actually that we're very happily aligned with. We have partnerships with Global Relay, which is a world leading archiving provider. And people think of archiving as just a place to store mail, but it's actually so much more than that. It actually has to be, if you actually want compliance based archiving, it has to be written to what's called WORM devices, write once, read many. So basically unalterable servers, et cetera, where the data can be nice and encrypted and no one can alter it. So partner with Global Relay, all sorts of other strategic vendors of App River. And within that account management role as a channel sales advisor, where basically it was my responsibility to grow my territory, I just really found that I was able to build relationships with my partners and help them sell. And I found within that a knack of training. And it actually, how I got to this is very roundabout. I actually have a background in philosophy and religious studies. I have absolutely no formal training at all in technology. Actually was a UWF alum, so I'm a proud Argo.
Yeah.
And then I went to Emory University and got my Master's of Divinity, which again has absolutely nothing to do with technology. So I actually...
You can pray a lot over it.
Yes. Yes. Technology needs a lot of hands-on.
Which happens on the days of frustration.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
It needs a lot of hands-on and reviving, you know. But I ultimately took a break from that path. I, being a local, knew that App River was this wonderful business. I'm actually from Gulf Breeze. So it's really neat being able to have this world-renowned business that's mm-hmm. a $62 million a year company based in Little Gulf Breeze, Florida. And of course, I'm trying to say, okay, what am I going to do with this background that I have, and where am I going to work when I decided to switch gears? And was really fortunate that they saw something in me. They said, she's good with people. She can talk and she can probably sell. So they put me in channel sales, and it was a giant learning curve.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, I used the internet. I knew how to send email, and that was about it. And then I was responsible for growing all of our Mountain Pacific time zone partners, about 300 partners. And when we say a partner at App River, we're talking about someone such as Bronwyn and her tech company who's selling our products to their clients. So a partner could be a business of 2 employees, or they could have 150 employees, maybe a sales team, maybe a support team, and they're out there selling our products to their clients. So in channel sales, which Robin's a channel sales advisor now, you know, our folks are responsible for managing everything that that company could need to help them be successful to selling our product. So it was a really interesting time to learn everything I needed to learn. Robin was actually a big asset for me because we were on the same team, and she was already in that role and right. had been doing it for some time, and really took me under her wing and helped me learn a lot.
And as we found, and now that my microphone works,
we're good.
I'm just what Ashley described, a channel sales executive there at App River. And what we do is we just mentor our channel partners, but plus people internally. And as we found, Ashley made such a big contribution, but she was well suited to go to App River University, and has helped us grow our business and our other geography locations. So Switzerland, Barcelona.
I was going to ask her if she's been.
Yeah.
I'm actually going in May for the first time, which is really exciting.
I so want to go on that trip.
Yeah. So it's really cool because App River has been in business since 2002. And we have about, 3,000 partners right now around the globe.
Probably
about 2,700 or something. And we already had a global presence without even trying, which is fascinating. So in 2012, we actually started our App River EMEA. And for those of you that don't know, that's just sales speak for Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So we started our European branch. It's a wholly separate company, but of course we have to say that so that our friends.
Well, you want to talk about regulation.
Well, there's a lot of people around the world that don't want to deal with American companies. Can you believe that?
Or servers.
So it makes total sense. So, you know, we, of course, have our headquarters in Switzerland. Makes sense, right? So Switzerland's thing used to be banking. Now it's security and server security. So we're headquartered there. And we also have an office in Barcelona. I'm so really excited to see our footprint growing at App River.
And I have to say, they help with my company, with just being a small company of 2. They're help me as much as they do the other ones. Robin is my sales person for App River and does a great job. She's always helping me. And I happen to have met Michael Murdoch and Joel Smith, who started the company when they literally started the company. And it was just those 2 and 1 other guy.
Was it in the garage?
It was in the building they're in now.
In like a broom closet.
It was, started in a small office next door to the office that got me started in IT.
And it was just the flagship product. It was just our spam and virus protection.
Mm-hmm. SecureTide. Yeah, that's so funny. Every new hire orientation, which we do about 1 a month, we bring in about 10 new people every month at App River. It's really funny that the guys refer to themselves as 2 guys in a spam filter. It was just 2 guys in a spam filter.
Every story you hear in some sense of the successful tech was 2 guys in a garage, 2 guys in a closet. I was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on hot dog buns, and next thing you know, we're, you know, kicking butt.
We're doing IT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're doing it global.
So, I would like to share some of the leadership stuff that either means something to you or has meant something to you, or things that you guys teach in your company, especially in your roles, and being a woman sometimes presents obvious challenges, but I think that each of you have either seen, used, or duplicated some pretty important leadership things that have come through. So share those golden nuggets of information.
Start with phenomenal customer care.
Yeah.
It's ingrained at AppRiver, and we really care about our people internally, but also externally. And we really want to make it successful and help them learn and grow and learn about the products. That's why we created the education and training department in App University has taken off so well. So I would just start by saying that phenomenal customer care is the leadership that and culture that AppRiver is promoted and ingrained in a lot of us.
So. Yeah, and I'll add to that, that actually we talk about, you know, phenomenal care being the product that we sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have encryption, we have spam and virus filtering, we have hosted email, we have backup email solutions, we have archiving, we have all sorts of wonderful products. But the thing that actually differentiates us from the other tech providers out there is our phenomenal care. And as Robin said, it really stems from the care that we provide each other. So there's a giant culture, I always say loving on each other. That sounds very kumbaya, but it's true. So we're a family and we put that first. And by taking care of each other and really enjoying the time that we spend together at the office, I mean, you spend more time at work, unfortunately, sometimes than you do at home. We really do value work-life balance. Everybody says that MapRiver really does value it because we know that in order to be able to take care of our customers mm-hmm. and grow the business, we have to be happy. So,
and I think as women, we naturally understand that and caring comes from the heart.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's how our business is. My partner, William, and I both are very customer service oriented. We put that first. I actually had a gentleman in yesterday who told me, I really appreciate how helpful y'all are. And we try to go the extra mile because there's no one helping. Customer service is so gone in all markets, let alone IT. And the changing that IT does is daily. So you have older, I have older customers who will come in and don't understand when they update the Google page and why it's updated or how they lost a homepage. Just some of the basic that we take for granted. We try to help that customer with it. Mm-hmm. And I got into this just because I was a mom and didn't want to work full time.
Yeah.
And started working part time for a man and doing training. And that's where I am now and wanted to open up my own firm just so I could do more customer service.
Sure.
And so we do focus on that probably more than we should sometimes, but that's where you want people to help people.
That's what differentiates you, I'm sure.
Right.
Technology changes so much that you can't be, you know, the harbinger of excellence on any one product. It's going to change.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Right.
It already changed.
Yeah, yesterday.
They just did an update 5 minutes ago. It's gone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
And technology's a lifestyle. I mean, we all, who doesn't see anyone without their iPhone? Mm-hmm.
Well, who can't go? We have customers who come in and they don't know what to do when we have their computer for repair. Like they can't pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got to pay my bills. We have forgotten that they can still go and mail that bill
yeah.
or pick up the phone and call it.
Yeah.
What's mail?
And people don't realize there's still the old ways uh-huh. to do it. I happen to have two computers. So if one goes down, I have an extra one, but not everybody
sure.
can do that. But we're very dependent.
It's like the handwritten thank you card now is like the golden Emmy of it all.
They're so special because they're so unique.
Because they are. They're so unique and not everybody does them anymore.
I still do that just because, again, that's the customer service.
Absolutely.
Okay, so then that leads me to the next thing. So with everything changing as much as it is, I'm sure you all have your finger on where we're going in the industry-wise. Of course, it all changed five minutes ago, so all of your answers are going to be wrong.
Faster, but yeah.
You know what's interesting is that as much as we probably take it for granted being in the tech space, that everything is hosted and, you know, that you can buy a service that is highly technical in nature, an enterprise level solution, we would call it, at a subscription price. That's what people are doing when they're saying I'm using a cloud service or I'm using a hosted
service. Office 365
service.
Is a product, which I just loaded the other day and was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, make sure.
And I don't have to go back tomorrow in a year from now
Absolutely.
And spend another $400.
It's the future.
Exactly. That's where it saves you a lot.
Yeah.
That's the future. But what's fascinating about it is that if you were to really take a full, it's kind of impossible to actually pull every small business out there, but 98% of all the businesses in the United States are well under 100 users. That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Most people that own businesses, you know, Pensacola Business Radio, a couple
we're two.
People, you know, TechWorks too.
Yeah.
You know, most businesses, you know, my husband and I own a small business on the side called Native Cafe on yeah. Pensacola Beach. There's 20 employees.
By the way, I love that place.
We got some good food, y'all.
Breakfast
we got some good
awesome.
Food. But even that, you know, booming little happy little business, there's only 20 employees.
Right.
Most businesses are under 100 employees. So all of those businesses need enterprise level technology. They need it. Have to have security. They have to have robust email solutions. They have to have the sorts of products that they need to be able to be successful. But they can't generally afford the type of stuff
right.
that actually would have to go into having their own. So getting hosted solutions is definitely going to continue to be the way of the future. But all of that to say that only like 20% of small businesses are actually using hosted technology, using cloud solutions. So there's only room to grow.
Right.
It's really exciting. Right. That's definitely going to continue to be the way of the future.
Well, I know I keep hearing just because I'm part of the I-10 thing, but this year, you know, the cybersecurity and the personal security has just moved past every business. And it really is to an individual level. I mean, I've been hearing about people that can scan your wallet with stuff as they walk by.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, now, and I just spent time in London a couple of weeks ago where over here, I wasn't thinking about it. But over there, it's, you know, obviously it's central London, which is like, I don't know, whatever it is, 20 million people in and out a day. So obviously it's pretty crowded. But I mean, you know, here you're not so compacted. So maybe it's one in, I don't know, 500 you got to worry about. Over there, it's like every one in three.
Yeah.
Somebody's out there scanning your stuff or, yeah.
But they're preying on, too, what I have seen a lot of is they're preying on older people who don't have enough knowledge, who this is very, very new to, older than me. And, like, one of the scams is an FBI scam that has been mm-hmm. going on, and they actually take the software and encrypt it. So you are, and they say to get this, unencrypted, you have to pay $200.
Yeah, they hold the
right.
people's and the, email hostage.
Well, and they make them pay with a card that they can't get refunded back. From so they go and they pay $200 and there's half the time they don't unencrypt them either, and we aren't able to unencrypt it the way right. it's done. So please, if you hear if someone calls you, Microsoft is not going to call you on the phone.
No.
None of these people are going to call you on the phone. They
or
are
send you an email
or send you an email.
Yeah.
Second, if you do get an email, I got an email myself from American Express saying that my account was delinquent, which I knew it wasn't. But I didn't call the number in the email. I looked up the number online and mm-hmm. called American Express. And he said, what number did they give you? And I told him, he goes, that's not even an American Express number. So,
and you can identify in the username of the
yes.
email that's sent as well. There's just a little subtlety. Maybe
right.
Something's reversed with the American Express, the E's before the,
right.
you know, or
mm-hmm.
the or after the X. So you can look for that as well.
Well, all these sorts of phishing type attacks mm-hmm. where they're trying to get you to click some link, make some call, enter some sort of information about yourself. It allows the black hats, as we would call them, to put together a more informed user profile. It's mm-hmm. it's actually really is freaky when you, for example, the App River blog, if you just follow it on our website, it will help you stay abreast of all the different changes. And we post probably two or three times a week, some sort of security blog about the most recent phishing attacks that we're seeing. And for those of you that don't know, you know, phishing attack is just like Bronwyn was talking about. Hey, your American Express card was attacked, or you'll even get something from a card. You don't have mm-hmm. MasterCard, and you all of a sudden get this email from MasterCard saying this was a fraudulent charge. You need to click this to fill it out. Well, they're preying on that guttural human reaction that, oh no, they got me. And so you're going to click something. You're going to mm-hmm. fall. You're like, oh my God, I don't even have a MasterCard.
Right.
So they're preying on that human reaction and ultimately trying to put together a sort of user profile on you where it has your actual, say you, for example, one of the ones that's going around, it's not even just one of the ones. There's hundreds of phishing messages going around right now that are themed about tax season. You know, mm-hmm. It's tax season in the
sure.
U.S. So the black hats are always going to they're going to prey on what's happening in the current events. So, for mm-hmm. example, this morning there was, unfortunately, the bombings and whatnot in Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're all going to see, mm-hmm. without a doubt, in the next few days, in the next few weeks, you're going to see emails that are going to come to you. They're going to be laden with malware that are going to say, hey, click this link to donate to Brussels
right.
relief. and you're going to inadvertently click it, enter your credit card information, and then that information is going to be taken by the black hats and going to be sold on the deep web. And putting together profiles about people and then selling it, and it's creepy, they can get, you would think it'd be worth a lot, but for your name, your social, your address, your credit card information, your mother's maiden name, all sorts of information that you think only you know, might be worth $5 to $25 on the deep web.
But when they multiply it by as many people as, you know, 5,000 that they're capturing with just that email. And
they're
that
making money.
Attempt. Yeah.
It right. works. It works.
And laundering it all through Bitcoin.
But what gets people is thinking there's this, you know, Bron, when you really hit home, when you said there's kind of an ignorance and it's not a stupidity or a choosing to ignore, it's a not knowing. There's this assumption that the, I call it funky mail or the trash on the internet, even just if you're browsing the web, there's this assumption that you're going to know it when you see it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the days of old. I mean, still there's those crazy, can I say Viagra spam emails you know, they're, and yes, people still click those. But ultimately, what's actually most efficient now is it's legitimate, incredibly looking, legitimate mail. Incredibly, it looks just like it would if you actually got it from Bank of America or from Yahoo Amazon or from the IRS, because they're creating campaigns that look legitimate so that the human response to respond is they're going to have a greater return of investment. So you just have to stop and pause. And as Robin said, look at the who's it from. If you don't know that person, don't click it. If it seems suspect, it probably is. Check the phone numbers. As Bronwyn said, she didn't just call that immediate number. Right. She actually went to the American Express website, separate of that email, looked up their phone number. You just have to be savvy.
And
you have to pause
and report it.
And report it.
Well, you people get so frustrated when things like this happen. The FBI one sends an FBI red flashing.
Yeah.
And I have people that get so frustrated and immediately call wanting a quick fix. You're not going to get a quick fix. And also remember, a lot of people are downloading, not so much on Macs, but on computers. They see all this free stuff and download it. If it's free,
it isn't free. Right.
You are going to pay for it by coming into my shop and paying me to clean it off of your computer, because you cannot clean it. We have to go into the registry and clean it. So if it's free, please, it's not free. So don't just download
it. You do pay for what you get. You do pay for what you get. Like earlier on in our discussion, you said, well, how secure is these sorts of free emails? They're okay. They're okay. And for your general end user, that's not trying to run a business off of it, it's okay. But the moment that you want to do something a little bit more secure, you want to own a business and actually have an email and a web presence, you do pay for what you get.
And you want to interact with your clients and be more professional. Yes. You, you want to go to the next step.
Well, and the other thing is, where's the liability sit? You know, I mean, if you have some secure email and you have a company behind you that sort of helps.
Absolutely. You know, when you're working with a trusted IT provider, you're working with their terms and conditions. You're working with their data center security. You're working with their uptime. It's a fancy tech word that means how available is the solution that I'm buying. It's the same thing when you buy internet from your internet service provider. You're agreeing, I'm going to pay you guys this much a month, and you're going to tell me I'm going to have access to my internet or my cable or whatever. So that sort of uptime and
SLAs are important.
Incredibly important.
Especially to small
you pay
businesses.
For what you get, right?
But explain SLA for someone who doesn't understand it.
So yeah, like this guy.
Service level so the service level agreement, and AppRiver provides a 5 nines of uptime, the nines being less than something like 7.5 minutes.
So that's saying 99.999% of the time out of a 30 or a 31 day month, the service that you're paying for is going to be available to you. So it's important to realize that, you know, like Robin said, AppRiver has 5 nines of uptime. Well, that means it's not just some marketing trite. It actually means that we have data centers and infrastructure and redundancy and teams and processes in place that mean our stuff is going to be available to you 99.999% of the time. And that actually mathematically equates, as she said, to only about 8 seconds of non-availability a month.
I can't deal with
that. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. And you have to be careful with those uptimes, because if you just throw out some amazing number and you don't have the technology to back it, you're going to be spending a lot of money giving credits to your customers. That's how SLA works.
Right.
So it's, you got to read the fine print.
Office 365 has 3 nines of uptime. So
that's Microsoft, people. Yeah, I mean,
that is Microsoft.
They're a big player.
That'll equal to 8 hours.
A year. And about 48 to 55 minutes of downtime a
which
month.
Which at the wrong time could be a whole bad day.
Yes. Yes.
Month, week, year.
Well, now, just imagine when your internet goes down. I mean, what you're dealing with.
Oh, I freak out just in the time it takes for the box to reboot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And that's like, 30 seconds maybe?
Sometimes.
Feels like eternity. Yeah. All right. Well, Robin, what else do you got over there to get into? You got a whole couple pages in front of you.
Well, I was just wanting to talk more about what we can do as far as women to help. Like Ashley was saying earlier, she grew up here. She wasn't really focused in technology, but it found a way into her.
Sounds like she sucked it right up like a sponge,
exactly.
Too.
Exactly. So there are a couple organizations that a lot of us take time and provide mentorship or just our talent to, and Bronwyn is in a few of them. So I would love her to talk about those.
Yeah. She's totally putting you on the spot.
She just learned this out in the hall.
but I had said mine before, and IT Gulf Coast is a fabulous one. I-10 Wired is definitely one that we do yearly in this area. And the Jim Rhodes is a big part of that, and he helps us come out and share the technology and share about how, with speaker tracks, on how you can improve your own business and keeping it secure, and other relative things to growing the business or improving the business.
Well, and he's an apper too, so we're really quite proud of Jim for really helping the Pensacola community really grow their IT footprint and their security awareness.
And Ashley's in a couple of other things, too, in Pensacola. So both of you, if you could tell us a little bit about the ways that we can bring youth and others into technology and share that.
We have to decide. You want me to flip a coin? Who goes first?
Well, I want to, I'm going to go first because I'm really just starting this journey. So I really have one organization that I want to plug, and then I want to hand it over to what seems like my fearless leader over there. She's in a lot more, so I'm going to let Bronwyn go after me. But I am heavily involved in the Junior League of Pensacola. I can tell you that for anyone that's listening, I have learned so much in terms of the value of networking. The women that I have met are deans at the University of West Florida. They are directors of public health at Baptist Hospital. They are the presidents of the African American Chamber of Commerce in Pensacola, and so on and so forth. And that is just to name four of them, of an active about 500 members of women around Pensacola that are absolutely movers and shakers. It's invaluable, not only what I have gained in terms of networking. People throw that word around without actually really knowing what it means, but just being willing to shake people's hands, get to know them, spend time with them, and working towards a common goal, which for the Junior League of Pensacola is bettering women and children's lives in Pensacola. So very passionate about that. That definitely stems from my background as well. We talked about my background in ministry. So anything that I can do to better the community is a really near and dear place to my heart, but it's also really helped me grow business-wise. Like I said, not only do my husband and I own Native Cafe, but also the ability to, I do a lot of facilitation at App River and training, but also I find myself doing that now in the Junior League as well. And people in their different roles around town are calling on me to do that. The mentorship of seeing the women in their various roles, and we're all feeding each other and working with each other and challenging each other. You know, iron really does sharpen iron. So I really enjoyed that organization. And just, you know, all the different things that we do on a yearly basis to impact women and children in Pensacola.
I'm stealing the iron sharpens iron. That was good.
That is actually from scripture. I can't take credit for that. That's from the,
that was good. That's from, I've never heard that
it's
before.
From
that
the Christian Bible there. So.
Well,
so I follow that.
Yeah. Well, I could quote some scripture, but I'm in several things. I was on the board of Big Brothers Big Sisters, mm-hmm. which I think is a phenomenal group.
Absolutely.
And I was able to we donated our time as from TechWorks to them. But currently I am a chair elect with the Gulf Breeze Chamber, and we also do work for them. I work with Gulf Breeze Rotary, and I can't say enough about that and what it gives back. We just give the gumbo for Gulf Breeze, and all of that gumbo goes, the money we earn goes back to scholarships for children who need them for school. I'm also in Pensacola Leaders, and I have met some phenomenal people in all of these respects. And as far as networking is concerned, today it may not get you business, but you don't know what it's going to get you tomorrow, or you don't know what it's going to get you a year from now. And the contacts that you make are phenomenal. And my husband's in banking, and he's made contacts, and now I'm making contact with, you know, they know us by the last name. But you meet some phenomenal people, and you just have to figure out what will benefit you and the community the best to get involved with. Yeah. One reason I did Rotary is I wanted something to give back to the community, to give back, and Rotary is phenomenal for that.
Yeah. So what else?
I know she doesn't sound busy at all, does she?
Right? Oh, and well, I go to a meeting every Tuesday for Rotary and every Wednesday for Pensacola Leaders, and then the activities. I also have a committee, if anyone wants to join, with the Gulf Breeze Chamber, a technology committee that I head up.
That's the one.
Yeah, that I head up. And we are trying to make the chamber more current. I mean, texting now is huge as far as advertising, or as far as reaching out to people, because you get bombarded with emails. No, I don't. I hate to admit this. I don't read all my emails. I get bombarded with them, and I can't. I do if it's from a customer, but I don't some of the others I get.
It's noisy.
Text. I'll look at my text real quick, read it, and be done, because they're shorter. They're to the point.
And social media, Twitter is now becoming part of that whole.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
There are so many different levels and platforms to do business on.
Well, your whole phone now.
Yeah.
And I was at Pensacola Leaders the other day, and a gentleman was showing us that, I mean, literally your alarm system, everything is done on your phone, from, you know, adjusting your heat. And
banking, air conditioning.
You take this phone around, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So I remember probably about 4, maybe 5 years ago, I started working for a very large healthcare company doing food and nutrition. But I was used to people picking up a phone and calling you if they needed you, or getting an email. And one day I woke up and I got a text from the director, and I was like, oh, we've moved into this now. It's okay to text employees for information, you know? And I was like, oh man, you know? And then but like you said, so now it's
just don't fire one that way. You know,
well,
don't
right. Yeah.
Don't break up.
Yeah. But you know, now it's the Facebook Messenger or the Twitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many channels to monitor now to do business on or keep secure.
Sometimes you just have to go back old school, though, and pick up the phone and call.
Yeah,
that's very hard for me. I don't.
I do that. And people get surprised. I'm like, hey, you know, you remember this thing called a phone call?
Yes.
You know, or two. Yeah,
it's invaluable. I mean, you asked a question earlier about where do we see the future? Where do I see the future? I think that, you know, things always tend to pendulum swing one way or the other, and obviously technology is absolutely.
Invaluable.
I mean, it's
amazing. We're not going to get back to carrier pigeons.
No, it's not going to happen. That would be ridiculous. But what I will say is that as people are more plugged in, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Like you just said, you're able to be hit. Not only you, if you have people that know your contact information on social media and your email and your phone, and they can text you, there's all these mediums where people can ping you. And that's a great thing. It helps you grow your business. It helps you network. It's also difficult. It wears on people. And so I do predict personally, this has nothing to do with Half River, but I just predict that people are going to continue to kind of need to unplug a little bit, and they're going to be incredibly intentional about
turning the phone off.
Yes.
Or all the electronics.
I don't know when that'll happen. It might be decades from now, but I feel like, as we get more plugged in, we all value the need to unplug. And know that business will still be running. You still got your security.
Right.
You still got good email and spam filtering and all this stuff happening for when you're ready to plug back in. But I just think that that's
going to be
important.
Well, people don't get vacations now because of technology. Where you won't remember, Ashley, you were too young, but I used to go on vacation and really get a vacation.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't have a phone, you know, that I could access.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could call you. Now you don't
do you remember
have
how many
that.
Phone numbers you used to be able to remember?
Oh my gosh. I know.
Now you don't even know your own.
No. I know, right?
I know. I have more customers that have to pull up their phone and give me their.
I would say people are, even in the most recent years, they're saying, no, I'm actually taking a vacation.
Yes.
I am unavailable.
Yeah.
If you need something, contact these people at the company. Like that seems to be raising.
Yeah, but you know darn well you're still checking that email one time a day.
I'm fortunate that my partner I trust so much, and sure. I think that's a lot of times not necessarily. Well, at River, there's plenty of people. There's always someone to help, but with us, I can leave and know he's got it handled because of a trust issue, and because I like to let things go. I don't want to have it totally up to me.
Sure.
He's there. Hey, William, we're running everything right now by himself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you have to depend on other people.
Yeah, it's important to have the right crowd and right employees, which is also part of technology and figuring out who and where to get those people from because it's tough. The culture is really important, and the people you hire need to embrace who you are at that company.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think there's such a skill gap too sometimes, which is starting to catch up, especially here in this community, all the way from the middle school to the universities and to the after university programs that are available. But there's a gap.
And that's important with the UWF and the different mentorship programs or networking programs that these ladies are involved with. And we're trying to start with Pensacola and the tech group so that we do let people know you can go to school here and live here and work here and get a technology higher paying job. They command some skill sets that that do allow for better pay raise.
Yeah,
you just have to seek them. Especially in women in technology, hopefully will become much more common than it is at the moment.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy around women in technology and just in general from women. We tend to have a high energy level, I think.
Well, I think it's because we have to.
Right.
You not only have to work a little harder to get credit and to receive the clout. I don't want to say that's unfortunate, but it is a little bit unfortunate.
It's reality.
honestly, it's not just the tech industry. So I know I don't want to, but we all work in that space. And it is very much so. I mean, when I was a account manager, a salesperson, and now even as a corporate trainer, and I tend to help lead our culture initiatives internally. And it's a lot of figuring out the landscape of how can I make this happen and do it in such a way that I come across assertively and informed. And then, you know, you get that adage of, oh, that person, that woman is too assertive, too aggressive, too the B word, you know, and I hate to say that because that sort of thing doesn't ever come up with male leadership, but it definitely comes up with female leadership. And that's in every industry, it really is. But I think it's exciting to be a woman in tech right now because the sky really is the limit.
Yeah.
We really have a lot of road to pave and a lot of energy to do it. And we have all sorts of fans, not only in the other women in the industry, but all sorts of men. Got to give them credit. I very rarely have I actually experienced anyone that, except for a couple grumpy gusses every now and then, maybe some older clients or some clients
who got FBI spam before they came to see you.
Yeah, they just were upset. But I mean, generally, folks are. It's just because it hasn't been the norm. It's not that they necessarily don't want us in the space. I feel like I have to say that, you know.
Yeah. Do you find yourself mentoring and encouraging? Well, I don't know you're doing with the junior league, so I know you get a lot of. But like my daughters, when they're picking up the phone and they've got their faces glued into it, and the second I tell them that they could actually build a career out of it, and they're kind of looking at me funny. All these things they like to do, whether it's they're building the movies or they're making the iPhones or the dance videos or whatever's hot this week. But the second I let them know, you know, there's people that write these programs, or there's people that help put these together, or there's people that do this kind of stuff for a living. They start kind of look, you know, I can see the gears turning. Like somebody just needs to tell them they had a place.
Right.
If this was something they wanted to do.
Well, what you should do too is you can let them. My pastor's son actually did some work with us. He wanted to see what it was like. He wanted to know how to hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And through last summer, he worked. He interned with us and he came in and did stuff just because he wanted to learn. So we try to offer that. We had a young man come in who had some disabilities and we worked with him on his level of what he needed for understanding and worked with him and helped him build a computer himself. Oh, wow. So it's not just women, of course, we do it from,
absolutely.
But I think my partner and I agree that we are there to help people like that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I get as much from watching them. And the mother was so appreciative that we would help her son.
Sure.
He probably changed his life. Got him excited about something.
Well, he loved,
really knew.
He already liked it. He just didn't understand certain things. And my partner is very knowledgeable and very patient. So he worked with him on it.
Well, yeah. Interning is a great thing for a lot of companies to embrace, and helping the community. That's a perfect way. And we want to be diverse in that and invite women, young ladies. But you definitely want to get it out there to the middle schoolers. That's when they're making their decision about what they want to do later. I don't know how old your girls are, but even, you know, middle
10 school, and 13.
So, never too young.
Perfect going on time. 16 and 21. So.
Let them know it's okay.
You said it right, Keith, when you said, just let them know they have a place.
Yeah.
And that their eyes lit up and they thought, what?
Yeah.
I've never even considered this. And I think it's really important to realize that there are so many awesome organizations around that are trying to do that, not just about technology, but just letting kids know the sky is really the limit. But I would say that for women in technology, and I know that you talked about this, might have been your second segment of women in technology, but Ann Hoffert, Ann Hoda, was really instrumental in bringing the film Code, Debugging the Gender Gap to Pensacola. And App River was the sponsor of that event. And actually, Ann and I addressed the crowd that night. I did a...
Did she dress up? She said she was going to dress up.
She totally dressed up. We had a really awesome time checking out that film, and it exposed so many of us that are actually in the industry to realizing that, and it goes back to what you said, just letting anyone that doesn't think they have a place, whether that's women, whether that's, you know, African-American students, whether that's Latino students, the film actually highlighted that those three groups of people are just completely underrepresented in technology. And it's because it starts in the school system and it starts in their communities and it starts in their homes. So you as dad being like, hey, kids, this is cool. You love this stuff. Did you know there's a career in this? Did you know daddy does this? You have a radio. I do social media. By you empowering them, whether you have, you know, young girls or whether you have Latino, whether you have, you know, African American children, by you just saying you can really do whatever you want to do and I will help you do it. And then with us as women, no matter what age we are, no matter what jobs we have, empowering the other women and children in our lives, the sky really is the limit.
Yeah.
That's really the most important thing.
Rotary, we have done Career Day, Gulf Breeze Rotary at the Gulf Breeze High School. And one reason they pegged me to and asked me to do it was being a woman in technology to show these other girls that they can do it.
It's so cool.
I mean, once they realize there's really a lot of fun and color and fashionable things with designing a website, maybe, doing some graphics, it turns on new light.
Yes. Yeah. Or making their dance video.
Exactly.
That's what mine love to do. They do. Or they'll get the iPhone movie thing where they just go and film a couple of pieces and it puts it all together. And they're just, you know.
Next, and they'll be big on YouTube.
They're the next, you know, big director. So.
Well, isn't that neat how the internet really did allow people to make their own way, make their own small businesses, get a voice out there. You know, so many musicians now are discovered on YouTube. How cool is that? It's so different than the way that it used to be. So just things like that, I think it's going to be really neat.
Well, evidently Ellen watches YouTube a lot because doesn't she always have people on her show from YouTube?
That she's pulled from YouTube, sure.
So. Ellen has it figured out.
Ellen's pretty great.
I got a feeling she's got a pretty bright team that's got their finger on the pulse.
And they're probably really happy. You talk about that culture bit, right? Uh-huh. Happy employees, happy clients.
You know who else I like? And this will probably just tell you where my humor just hits the gutter sometimes is Tosh.0.
Oh, he's amazing. Same thing, trolling
some of the
internet.
Funniest stuff out there. And I'm like, who are these people?
It's amazing.
But they're there and they want a place at the table too.
Yeah.
Well, the internet allows us to be exposed to everyone wherever they are in the world, even when they're doing silly things.
Like the Shoppers of Walmart, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Now those guys are funny too.
They are amazing.
Those guys are funny. So, all right, Robin, what else you got over there on your novel of paper?
Oh, well, let's see. Well, let's talk about Well, we've talked about supporting, how we can support and the organizations, but let's talk a little bit about the role model that we can play long term. You know, we do need to get in front of chambers or places where we can network, but talk about where that middle school child can figure out what they want to do. IHMC downtown, they do some training. Mm-hmm. I know when I was here last, Ann was talking a lot about places where you could go to learn code. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. going to be available by just doing a web search. But there's, gosh.
Doesn't MASH do something too? Mess hands-on?
Oh, yeah, the mess hall.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mess hall is amazing. Mm-hmm. So glad they're here in town.
Well, and you've got, you know, the Georgetown Technical Center, I know, does a lot. They have a lot of programs that people can get interested in.
Obviously, Pensacola State, University of West Florida.
Yeah, and there's the Cyberthon and that kind of stuff for the kids.
Connect with the universities and ask them what's going on. I mean, a lot of those U.S. robotics and STEM, but that's once you get up into high school, there's programs mm-hmm. where you can join, but...
We actually have a lot of appers that are really involved in those sorts of activities, and we're so proud of them, and we encourage them to do that, and of course give them time away from work to do what they need to do. But I actually think that
Dojo coders,
those guys are cool.
The Dojo, oh my god, you need to have
the Cobra Kai thing going on.
You should have a whole session with just the Dojo kid. Folks, they're amazing.
Well, we saw them at the summit. At the Attend Wired Summit, and they did a demonstration that freaked me out. They had a fake phone that got dropped out in the parking lot, and they brought it in, and in 5 minutes, the 17-year-old kid had the entire fake person, but all of their information, had opened up 3 credit cards and was spending money in 5 minutes.
You bring up an interesting point. Everybody put a passcode on your phone. I know it takes... T-minus 2 seconds to get in your phone when you do that, but it's super, super important.
But you can also, if you lose it, at least on the iPhone, have it deleted.
You can swipe it,
You can delete it from wherever you...
And with any hosted email solution, like from AppRiver, whether you're using our hosted exchange or whether you're using Office 365 from us, you can do a remote wipe. So say you do lose your phone, it can be completely wiped, not just of the contents that are on your home screen, but also your email, so that if the black hats get a hold of your phone, they can't also access your email.
I don't think they should have such a cool name.
Black hats. He's jealous.
That's a cool name. It shouldn't have that.
Some of our security analysts, they're like, yeah, don't call them that. That's too glamorous.
Yeah.
We call them malware artists. They're like, don't do that.
That's not good. No.
But I think it actually paints an important picture that, yes, there are trolls in the black sweatshirts in a dark closet, but generally they're creepy, creepy business people that you wouldn't recognize on the street.
Right.
They are absolutely blending in with everybody. It's the biggest business out there. So I kind of do that to paint a picture that it's actually incredibly sophisticated so that you don't drop your guard. But I want to circle back to, you know, the different things that we can do. I think that, you know, Robin just very eloquently mentioned all sorts of different organizations around town that you could plug into to help mentor, you know, the young kids. But I just want to circle back to how important it is just to have everyone, whether they have kids or nieces or nephews, or they have neighbors or anybody that can influence and empower any young kid, say, you can do it. I mean, I want to go back to what you said about you have a place. You can do this.
Right. And as a parent, you can find places that will go and let your kid, like my pastor did, or say, hey, can they come to your place?
Yeah, check it out.
There's tons of resources if the kids feel like they can do it. And if they're encouraged, you can do this. And then when they get that first bit of flack or that first bit of, you know, that wall, go around it. You can do this.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing. There's resources everywhere.
Everywhere.
Honestly, the internet helps with that. And Pensacola is an incredibly social justice and community oriented town. So there's all sorts of resources. You just have to empower the kids to know that they can take advantage of them.
Yeah. That they can Google it and they're someplace local.
Yes. Absolutely.
It is beyond the screen and it's not that much further. So
yeah.
Very cool. Well, look, we're getting close to our time here. Is there anything else that you think we've missed or we know we want to cover? Any events coming up? Oh, I do. I don't know if you know this. I-10 Wired Radio will be starting here very soon.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wow.
So it is its own I-10 Wired Radio. That's all I can say.
Wow.
So we'll be using it, or not using it, but it'll contain guests and themes and all that stuff that go along with IT Gulf Coast and Florida West and I-10 Wired and Knapp River and all of those things that that we've talked about today, but just as a vehicle to get the word out and expand some more notifications around the community. So,
well, that's great because that's a yearly event that really has grown over the years here. And it's so neat to see people come from other states to come and enjoy and listen.
And how much was tied into it. You know, that was one of the biggest things for me when I saw it. It wasn't just tech companies or technology. I mean, there were schools, there were politicians, there were private investors,
it affects everybody. Yeah, you name it.
It was like, hey, there's something. Government, obviously the military and the healthcare. But it was like, okay, well, this could be a really cool thing to make big.
Absolutely. So. Well, Pensacola is in a really unique spot. I mean, people kind of take us for granted, but just geolocation wise, we have a lot of cable and wire, all
fiber,
sorts of fiber, and we're just in this
things
really,
that are not yet being even been tapped into.
And you know what people don't realize is that really puts us in a place where in between so many other big cities, but you have to go through us.
Yeah.
So we really are just getting started.
Yeah,
I would say not just Pensacola, but also App River is just getting started. It's very exciting.
Yep.
We have nowhere to go but up.
Destination cool. technology.
That's it. See, we're coming up with all kinds of bumper stickers.
Ready to go. Second job.
That's it. So, okay. Well, let's do, what's the websites again? So everybody can find you.
com, APPRIVER.com and, avsia.org is one. I10wired.org.
Mm-hmm. ITGolfCoast.org.
And Junior League of Pensacola.org.
Yeah.
Well, we are parlortechworks.com. And then Gulf Breed Rotary has their own Facebook page. And you were talking about earlier about the blogs. My TechWorks page, we usually post security issues coming about or some of the up and coming knowledge I try to post.
Yeah. Which is great. Just information in general.
Right.
Definitely.
Don't believe everything you read on Facebook.
Please.
No, definitely. And I'm sure Bronwyn and her team are also using the App River blog. There's so much security information on there. So even if you're just a consumer and you're not running a business, it's great to follow that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to thank you ladies for coming out today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And go, it was fun. Now you can go to the beach.
Yeah, we
I
wish.
Won't tell Jim, I promise. So you guys, you can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at Pecola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com. Again, thank you ladies for coming in for Women in Technology. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.